once again feel a real need in your prayers. The Lord have blessed His Word. That's my prayer. That's my desire. I want to hear two words more than anything in this life, and that is, well done. To be able to have the Lord say that, to be able to know more than anybody being satisfied with me, them being able to praise me or put their approval on me. Paul said, therefore we labor, whether we live or die, to be accepted of Him. Of everything that we do, our lives and how we spend our lives and our efforts should be for the purpose that the Lord would accept us, that our lives would be found acceptable and pleasing in His sight. And that should be our desire today. You ever heard of get-rich-quick schemes? Hear sometimes on the radio advertised or an advertisement saying that all you have to do is work from home for an hour or two a week in the comfort of your own home. And here's an example of somebody that did that. And they bring home X number of thousands of dollars a week just sitting at home with a couple hours a week. And I hear that and I think that sounds great. That sounds easy. It sounds like the thing to do. So let's just put all our eggs in this one basket. And I'll quit my job because I don't make that kind of money. And I've got to work 40, 50 hours a week to get it. Well, anybody would take this 2-3 hours a week and making the same amount of money or more. But what you often don't hear, or if you do, it's in, you ever notice at the front end or the back end of those commercials, somebody that talks real fast. There's a reason they talk fast. Well, they want to conserve airspace, but they also, it kind of seems to take away from the advertisement. If there's a disclaimer to it saying something to the effect, maybe these results are not typical. Everybody may not expect to see these results. But the hope is that in hearing it, I'd say that could be me too. And I want to get rich as well. I hear those that I work with oftentimes, the Powerball drawing comes around and I'll see a lot of them with scratch sheets and notes and getting pools together there at work that if we all pull our names together in one pot and we buy a bunch of tickets, we have a greater chance of winning. And the stakes are often high, and I hear them talk about it. They've told me before. Those that work with me, Clint, by the way, the drawing's this coming Friday or it's tomorrow, and don't expect to see us at work after that because it could be me. And if I get it, if I'm the lucky person, I'll never have to work again. I'll have it made. All I have to do, and that's the hope that draws people on and on. You don't look at the odds many times. One out of hundreds of millions of people that's drawn. And all the other, if you say it's 100 million people, the other 99,999,000 people just lost their money. And they're put out with nothing to show for. But I've got that hope that I could hit it rich. Well, Sister Mary touched on yesterday, story of a man in Texas by the name of Billy Bob Harrell. He was a Pentecostal preacher, not a man of much means. He worked hard trying to provide for his family and would come home and made a routine that once a week or once a day or whatever it was, he'd stop by the convenience store and he'd buy a lottery ticket with the hopes that one day maybe I'll get it. I won't have to work so hard and my family will be able to be set at ease. So he was sitting there one evening watching the television and saw the numbers come up that display who won. And he watched it and the string of numbers that was being read, it's matching so far. And sure enough, he had the winning ticket. $31 million was now his to claim. A man that had had to work hard, that had not been able to have the kind of ease and security financially that people dream of, Now he had it made for the rest of his life. What he had dreamed about. What he had hoped for. What he had no doubt imagined. If I ever get this money. Maybe you thought of that kind of thing before. Maybe as children. If I ever won $1 million, I'd do this. Or I'd do that. Or the first thing I'd do would be this. I'm sure he had thought that way. And his time came. Well, he got the money. And he wanted to be kind-hearted. He began giving money and houses and cars and possessions and all to all his friends all around him. Well, when you're wealthy, you find you have a lot more friends than you realized you had. People began calling him up, wanting to be his friend, wanting to be acquaintances from way back. Hey, old buddy, been wanting to get in touch with you again. By the way, I heard you won the lottery. Trying to get a little something or a little piece of the pie as well. And he found that his money began quickly draining. There were those that tried to manage his money for him, companies that would offer, and he got phone calls, and long story short, he didn't know what to do with that kind of money. He bought houses and houses for himself and estates and cars and all that kind of thing, but he found that his marriage began to suffer. You see, that wasn't part of the fine print, or that wasn't part of the advertisement that he saw. Your marriage will suffer. You'll lose your home. You'll lose your children. They'll go off on you. And he got to the point that he despaired so much of life and what to do that he locked himself away in his bedroom and pulled the trigger. And he ended it all within just a few years. That's not what I dream of when I think if I had this amount of money. But there's fine print to it. I'd like to turn to Proverbs, the 10th chapter. I'd like to talk about a get-rich strategy. The burden that I have this morning is the blessing of the Lord. Proverbs 10. You remember also, back in the 1800s, a man, I believe, by the name of Sutter, went and he found some flakes of gold in his mill. And it didn't take long at all. He tried to keep it quiet, tell just a few around him that what he had found, and took it in and confirmed, sure enough, it's the real thing, it's gold. But word so quickly got around. All over the country, gold's been struck. We found gold and people began to sell their homes and their farms and move out to California with the hopes that I can get the kind of gold that he's found. Most of them didn't get it. Many of them found themselves out there with no gold and now no home. Proverbs, the 10th chapter, 22nd verse, says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." There's no fine print. You want to get rich this morning? The blessing of the Lord will do it to you. The blessing of the Lord will make wealth and riches. We had a song in this meeting, "I've Got a Treasure." I found a treasure that's far better than anything else that you can find in this world. This is something that I can dream of and think about, but when I get it, the Scripture says that the kingdom of heaven is like a man that went out and he bought a field because there was treasure in it. There was a pearl in it. And so he sold all that he had, and he went and he bought the field because of the worth of what he had found. Salvation. How much is our salvation worth to you? Just as whenever Sutter had found gold, word so quickly got out. You know what I'm reading to you here this morning is the formula for great riches. For great wealth, what this world has dreamed of and longed for, to be able to get something that satisfies abundantly what I need. That abundantly satisfies the longing of my heart. We can find it in the blessing of the Lord. The Lord's blessing to be upon us. David said in the 73rd chapter of Psalm, Psalm 73. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, and they have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt, and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore as people return thither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know, and is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. David was looking on that and looking at the prosperity of those that were around him, that were in the world, and his momentary conclusion was, verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. Of all that I'm doing, you know, our world's mentality today is, why deny yourself? If there's something that you want, why say no? Why should you deny yourself? You have but one life. Go out and live it to the fullest. If you want something and you look on something that your heart wants, you can do it. You can get it. You can be what you want to be. You can go and you can somehow obtain what your dreams are. There's no reason why I should say, no, I'm going to refrain myself. I'm going to keep myself in check. As David was saying, Lord, I've tried to chasten myself. I've tried to keep bounds on my life. I've tried to conduct and live myself in a way that's pleasing unto you. And that means that I can't go to the places that they go. I'm not able to go and obtain the things that they obtain. But Lord, I'm doing it for a reason. I want your blessing on my life. I want the blessing of the Lord to be upon me. But sometimes we can get discouraged when I look around and I see, Lord, they're living that way and it seems like there's no repercussions. They're going and saying, I don't have to have responsibility. I don't have to conduct myself or self-denial. That's foolish. And it seems like they're prospering. It seems like they're doing well. It comes their time to die, and Lord, they don't have to lay in a bed suffering, it seems. Sometimes, often they do. But as David said, there are no bands in their death, and I got envious at it. David's courage began to falter. Is what I have really worth it? What I have hold of here, it seems like it's pain. It seems like it's self-denial. Is it worth it? But I want to say to us this morning, where the blessing of the Lord is, it's worth it. I'd rather suffer with the blessing of the Lord on my life than to be able to say, I'm one of those, there's no bands in my death. I'm able to live in prosperity. I'm able to live in ease. How much this morning does the blessing of the Lord on my life, on your life, how much does it mean to us? When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. I was discouraged. My courage began to falter until I went back to a place of prayer. Until I went back and I found a place with the Lord where He renewed my courage. You know, sometimes we need refreshing. Sometimes the battles get hot. The hardships get long. And sometimes I think, Lord, is it worth it? Lord, why do I have to deny myself? Why are you allowing me to go through all of the things that I'm going through? But I realized, as David thought back and his perspective was then changed, you know, our perspective must be an eternal one. Our perspective and all that we're looking at, when I weigh in eternity, when I weigh in the time that we sang about, Lord, I don't want anything to hinder me because I want to hear You say, well done. If I look at this life only, then I would have to say, surely, why deny myself? If this is all there is to life, it's just me. It's just all that I can get for myself. I might as well get all I can get. But whenever I weigh in eternity, whenever I realize they're not paying the price now, but there will come a time that they'll pay the price for the way they're living. Lord, I want the blessing of the Lord on my life. Psalms, the 37th chapter. Psalms 37 and 16 says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Just a little bit that a righteous man hath. Whatever a righteous man's lot is, whatever the Lord allows to be his lot in life, whatever the Lord blesses and allows him to have is far better. Lord, if this is my lot in life, Lord, help me to realize I'm far better off to take the lot of the Lord on my life, to be in a place where the Lord's blessing can be upon me, than to say, all right, I'm going to go off and I'm going to go the way that others seem to be going that's far easier. Jeremiah, the 42nd chapter, coming to mind. I'd like to turn and read this. You know, the children of Israel were God's chosen people. They were those that God said, I've chosen you, I've called you out, you're my people, and I'll be to you a God. But they went through hardship, didn't they? They too were thirsty. They too got hungry. They too had to face some battles in their lives. You know, sometimes we can be of the mindset. Many times the church world even presents the idea that if you give yourself to the Lord, you'll prosper. You'll do well. The promotions at work, if you truly are living pleasing to God, you'll get that promotion. You'll find that things just connect. They just click for you and fall together. Well, the children of Israel didn't always find it to be that way. Nor have God's people. It doesn't mean when I take the way of the Lord that it'll be easy. It doesn't mean when I take the way of the Lord that people won't come against me, that people won't persecute me, that I won't have hardship. But better is a little where the Lord is, where His blessing is, than the riches of the world. So I'd like to look at the children of Israel here. 42nd chapter of Jeremiah in the 13th verse. If ye say, we'll not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, but we'll go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have the hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. Now therefore hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt and go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which ye feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. And the famine whereof you were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt. And there shall ye die. If you think that you can go an easier way, if you think, Lord, the way that you've led us by, it's a hard way. There's pestilence this way. There's hunger this way. There's war. There's battle. I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of facing the battle. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of having to deal with hunger, and say, well, I know what I'll do. I've had enough. I'll go back to Egypt. Lord, help us to never be of that mindset. To never in my time of hardship say, oh, if only I could go back to the leeks and the garlics and the onions. How quickly we forget the chains of Egypt. How difficult it was. It appeared in David's weakness, in his time of hardship, they have it easy. But how quickly we forget the oppression of sin. If you choose to go back to Egypt, you'll find the thing that you're running from will be the very thing that gets you in Egypt. So it tells me if I'm going to face pestilence anyway, if I'm going to face and have to deal with hunger anyway, Lord, I'd sure rather do it with your blessing. I'd sure rather do it in a place that the Lord's saying, I'm with you. There'll never be an enemy that'll overtake you or overcome you. You'll have to fight. You may have some hardship to go through, but I will be with you. Is that a promise for us today? I'll be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you if you go with me. If you'll obey my word. Remember, he said, I set before you this day blessing and curse. If you walk in my ways, it'll be blessing to you. You'll find that I'll prosper the way that you go in. I'll provide for you. I'll keep you. I'll sustain you. But if you choose to go another way, if you say, I won't take the way that the Lord has, I don't want to face the giants, I don't want to face the hardships, I'm going to go an easier way, you'll find that it's a curse to you. The choice for us this morning is go with the Lord or go against the Lord. There's no other alternative. Lord, I want to go the way of the Lord. I want the blessing of the Lord to be upon my life. David's prayer, his desire in 84th Psalm was exactly that. You remember Moses also is a man that was raised with the best there was to have. Raised in the house of Pharaoh, he had the learning, the education. I'm sure he didn't have to worry about clothing and comfort and all of that growing up in the courts of Pharaoh. But he made a decision. I'd like to turn and look at that before we pick up the 84th Psalm. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. It said that he had faith. By faith, Moses, Hebrews 11 and 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Why would you make a decision like that? Whenever the choice is yours, whenever it's there before you, I could choose to have a life of ease and of pomp and of being taken care of. But I'm going to make the choice. I'm going to leave it all behind. I'm willing to forsake it. I'm willing to choose. Lord, I'm willing to suffer for you. I'm willing to go through hardship. I'm willing to take an humble and a low and a difficult route, a straight and a narrow way. I'm willing to choose that. It says that he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. He was looking for something beyond the momentary pleasures of sin for a season, the momentary relief that I can get. We've got to look beyond that. We've got to be able to look beyond today and be able to see the recompense of reward that we have. If we endure, blessed are they that endure temptation. For when you're tried, you'll receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised. If we'll endure, if we'll stay faithful to the Lord, His blessing upon us, there is a great recompense, a reward. David said in the 84th Psalm, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars. O Lord of hosts, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Blessed are they. You know what blessed means? How happy. How happy are they that dwell in thy house. It says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield." I'm sorry, the ninth verse. "Our God, O God, our shield, look upon the face of thine anointed, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield, the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." I'd rather have, here's my choice. Here's my decision, as Joshua said, "As for me and my house." Your decision is your own decision to make. I can't make it for you. I can't choose the way that you're going to go. But I can make a stand and say, here's what my decision is. "As for me and my house, we're going to choose to go the Lord's way. We're going to choose to go where the blessing of the Lord is." I'd far rather that than to live in all the comfort and ease and pleasures of this world. Just to be a lowly doorkeeper. Just to have some place, Lord, whatever job I can fill, wherever I can be, just so I can be there. "Just a day as courts within far exceedeth all in sin," one song says. To be able to be in the place where the Lord's blessing and His favor is. I'd like to look at the book of Genesis. Genesis, the 25th chapter. Remember, the Lord had met Abraham and promised him His blessing, that He would go with him, that He would give him seed that would be for multitude as the sands of the sea. Isaac came along, and Esau and Jacob, and we know the story is found in the 25th chapter of Genesis. We won't read it for the sake of time, all of it, but it says that Jacob entreated Esau that he would give his birthright to him. That Esau was hungry and said, "I'm at the point to die. What good's my birthright to me?" Birthright was the way, the avenue through which the Lord had said, "My blessing will be conferred. It'll be passed down." Most of the time, it was on the firstborn child. And so it was this firstborn or the oldest son that, whenever I bless you, whenever I give my birthright to you, it means something. It means a lot. It means on you is given covenant relationship with the Lord. The blessing of it. A favored place with the Lord. It's your responsibility. All that I have and all the Lord has blessed me with, it's now your responsibility being handed off to you. Esau, for a bowl of beans, said, "I'll give it up." Esau, because of the moment, because of the hunger that he felt to the moment, because of the difficulty that he was going through one day, said, "I'll give it all up." You see the consequence of us getting to a place that I say, "I can't do it anymore." To say, "I can't deal with the hunger anymore. So I'll forfeit everything that's entitled to me by the blessing of the Lord." Esau did that, and as we know also, you look in the 28th verse, the time came that Isaac was about to die, and he told Esau, "Go and get me some venison that I can eat it, and I'll bless you." And Jacob, as we know the story, Rebekah heard that and wanted that to be conferred on Jacob. So Jacob went and he prepared some meat and soup or pottage for him and took it to him, and he closed his arms and made himself to appear as Esau. And he received the blessing of his father. He had received the birthright. He received the blessing. It's more than just for us to say today, "May the Lord bless you, son." It meant something. It was the avenue through which the Lord's blessing was passed down on the child. And so, Jacob obtained that. I'd like to pick up now in the 28th chapter. As Jacob was running, leaving that place, his brother, as you can imagine, furious at him, said, "Jacob went out from Beersheba," in the 10th verse, "and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and laid down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Jacob now had received the blessing of the Lord. The promise that God had made to Abraham, all this land I'll give to you and to your seed. They'll be multiplied, they'll be plenteous. That blessing is still applies to you, Jacob. That blessing, that promise is still your promise. You know what the Lord has done for our fathers is still our promise today. What the Lord has done in their lives, the places that they've obtained is still there for us today. Where the Lord has said, I'll go with you, I'll make your path for you, I'll go before you, it's still for us in our lives today. But we don't obtain the blessing in the same way. Thank the Lord, because I'm not the oldest son. We don't have to be the firstborn to get this blessing. But Jacob found the blessing of the Lord. He found the same promise that the Lord had given his forefathers. The Lord met him and gave him as well. I'd like to pick up as we're reading there. Third chapter of Galatians. It says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The blessing of Abraham now, it comes on us through Jesus Christ. It's not through the firstborn, but the Lord wants to be able to bless every one of our lives, that the blessing of the Lord would be upon us, that His promise would apply to my life, that the things that the Lord has promised there for me as well. So Jacob, as he was going through this place, alone, no doubt a lonely place, had left his family, was running, someone was, his brother, wanted to kill him. Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. How often are we in that kind of place as the children of God? Whenever I'm going through the darkest of nights and the most difficult of valleys, Lord, I don't feel you. Lord, I don't see you anywhere around. Why are you allowing me to go through this place? But there Jacob had a vision and he saw the ladder that stretched to heaven. And on it he saw the angels that were descending and ascending to the Lord. You know that means that the Lord is directly intervening in our lives. That the Lord, as our prayers are ascending up to heaven, they're going directly to the throne of God. I don't believe in the idea that God is as a great watchmaker. He made the world, He set it in motion, and He set it aside and stepped back. I am convinced that the Lord is directly interested in our lives, in the everyday details and needs of my life, that as I come before the Lord, what a blessing. As I come before the Lord and I've lost something, or I'm in need, or I'm suffering, or I have a request for the Lord, the angels are there to take it up the ladder to heaven. That was part of the blessing that Jacob received. And in the difficult place that he was going through, he said, Lord, I didn't realize you were here. I didn't realize that your blessing was on me in this place. But it was. And he named that place the house of God. You know, the song, How Firm a Foundation, says that He will sanctify to us our deepest distress. The places that we go through with the blessing of the Lord, He'll sanctify to us. He'll make it for our good. The Scripture says, all things work together for the good of those that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. So what does this blessing mean to us today? Is it valuable to you? Is it far greater riches than all the world has? Lord, help us to value it. Lord, help us to realize what we have in our hands. It's something that's not worth giving up for a bowl of beans. It's something that's not worth just easily laying aside. I'd like to close in the 10th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews 10 and 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Don't cast it away. In our day and age, in our trials and our difficulties, when the enemy would come along and say there's an easier way, there's an easier route that you can take. Remember, there's a place that the children of Israel murmured and complained, cried out to the Lord, and the place that the Lord led them to. And it says the Lord, Psalms 106, I believe in 15, says the Lord gave them their request. But what? He sent leanness to their soul. Is it worth it? How much does the blessing of the Lord mean to me? Maybe I can go my own way. Maybe I can say, Lord, I'll take an easier route. Lord, I'll turn to my own wisdom. I'll turn to man. But there might be a consequence to it. Lord, I want the blessing of the Lord. I want Him to give me something that's a rich heritage in my life. I want to be spiritually wealthy. It adds no sorrow with it. Again, it doesn't mean that we won't face hardship. Remember Joseph? The story of Joseph and the Lord's favor that was upon him. Don't you think you'd get to thinking after the first year, Lord, if you're with me, why am I here? Lord, if you haven't forgotten about me, why do you have me sitting down here in a dungeon? Couldn't you have reminded the king? Couldn't you have let him know? Lord, if I'm truly pleasing you, why do you bring me into a place like this? But was the hand of the Lord still on Joseph? And is the hand of the Lord still on us while we go with him? Whatever place we find ourselves in. Remember it said that Joseph, everything that he touched, the Lord blessed it. Everything that he put his hand to, and Pharaoh recognized it. And the Lord brought him through all of this for a purpose out in the future, that he could be a blessing to many others. He was faithful in it. Daniel, the children, the Hebrew children, the blessing of the Lord was on him. Whenever they said, there's no way you can prosper unless you eat the king's meat. There's no way that you can stand in good favor with the king unless you take the route that we say you need to take. Why would you deny yourself? Why would you choose vegetables and water when you have the king's meat before you? But whenever I say no, I don't want to lose the blessing of the Lord. I'd rather have the blessing of the Lord than the blessing of the king. I choose that. Because of that, the Lord blessed Daniel. The Lord caused him to prosper. The Lord can do the same with us. Far better it is to have the blessing of the Lord than the blessing of man on our lives. The Lord took care of him. The Lord provided for him. Scripture says that when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace. Don't you know the Lord can take care of every need of our lives? If we obtain and have and walk in the blessing of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord makes rich. It is a rich heritage that we have. And I want to encourage us this morning in the rich heritage that we have, the rich blessing of the Lord. Don't ever stray from it. Don't ever turn away from it. Don't cast away your confidence. It has great recompense of reward. You pray for me that I could walk in His blessing too. Amen.